I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the history of Election Day.
So grab the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November.
And let's get civical. Hello, distinguished guests of the show.
Oh, good evening and good morrow.
And good day and good night. To you and you and you. I thought I would shake it up a bit.
You shook it and everything fell out of the tree. And it was great.
Everything's out of the tree. So welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I'm Arden Walentowski.
And we are recording this at an off time, which, as listeners of the show know, means that it's gonna be a weird one.
Things are gonna get wild.
Like newborns, when we get off our cycle, God knows what's going to happen. All bets are off. It's evening, which is when we do kind of our strangest work.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what comes out today, or if we can manage to keep it together for the next 35 to 40 minutes.
I think we can do it. Neither one of us have had dinner, but
that's true.
We also don't have drinks in hand, so that will mitigate the crazy.
That's true.
Right?
I can't promise that I'm going to be able to sustain good reading. Not that I'm a solid reader to begin with, but that's where I feel like the wheels of the bus are going to fall off for me.
I
feel like halfway through, I'm going to start losing the gift of the English language and the written word.
I might at some point, the state whose name I always fuck up is not in these notes by any means.
Oh, thank God.
But at some point, I may, of course, find a reason to say it, and I will say it the incorrect way.
I love that. So I love the sort of infinite possibilities of uh-huh. this episode and how we are going to either crush it or make it weird, which yeah. is, I think, an appropriate tone to set before talking about the history of Election Day.
Yes.
I think an odd history, a history that's still being written. Obviously, we're doing this ahead of an election day. It's coming up in the beginning of November. Every November, there's an election day. It Not as happen. Big as the last. But
No. This one's rather...
One nonetheless.
Yes. This one feels very anticlimactic, but still important in some ways. Mainly state and local elections.
Amazing. So I feel like, let's jump in. Yeah. Do you want to tell us about today's sources?
Yes. Today's Saoirse Ronan sources are triedandtruehistory.com.
Yes.
Always. Her stepsister, Britannica.
Cute.
Cute.
We love Britannica.
Love Britannica. And not a horrible name for a girl, Britannica. I mean, I wouldn't do it to somebody, but like...
Sure.
It has a certain ring to it.
Right, right.
Also, great article by Selena Simmons Dufine. Great article in NPR. And a report by Ben Lubsdorf, who's with the Congressional Research Service. I don't know if we've used a lot of their... We have. I know we've used reports for them before, but yeah. I love the Congressional Research Service because it's yeah. like... They just put everything so plainly in a
Give
document.
Give it to me like white bread with butter.
Yes.
Plain.
Plain. That's exactly what they do. And I feel like when I read them, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like if you or I if we as a podcast wrote a report, but without humor, that's what it would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Could we do it without humor? I don't think it's possible.
Then it wouldn't be the show.
I wouldn't have a role.
It wouldn't be here. And it would be boring AF. Sorry, Ben. But it would be boring because it would just be me being like, in 1845, the Congress passed blah, blah, blah.
And the state of Oregon.
Just whenever anybody opened a report with the state, it would just go, psh, Oregon, psh, Oregon.
Oregon.
I love it.
Shout out to all the sources.
All the sources. So let's jump in and we're going to talk about what is Election Day.
Yes. Let's talk about it.
What is it? How does she work?
Talk to me like I'm five.
Great. I have done this, talking to my goddaughter about Election Day. It is an experience that I have. This section of notes is coming from the Congressional Research Service. So what is Election Day? Election Day is the day legally established to select public officials in the United States. General elections for federal offices, aka the president, vice president, and U.S. Congress, are held on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November in even-numbered years.
What a yummy, succinct.
I know.
Definition.
Yeah, that's it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
That's it. Citizens vote for president and vice president every 4 years, House representatives every 2 years, and senators every 6 years. This excludes special elections to fill unexpired terms. So somebody leaves early. Somebody leaves early, somebody dies, they get replaced. There's a special election for the House representatives, not the president and the vice president.
Right.
Sorry.
Or
the congressional
as well.
For the Senate. Yes. Yeah. For the congressional elections, not president and vice president.
Correct.
State and local elections are often, but not always, held on the same day as federal elections. And yeah, New York City elections, that is the big thing for us in the place that you and I live in, because New York City elections are a week from today. Today's Tuesday, a week from today. They're in an odd numbered year for no real good reason.
Because New York is New York.
New York is New York. And she's a troublemaker.
And we love each other.
Mm-hmm. The Constitution and federal statutes provide a structure for elections and voting in the United States, but election administration for federal elections, not state and local elections, is primarily a state responsibility. The Constitution does not designate a specific day for holding elections. So the Founding Fathers were just like, I don't know, like, just choose your favorite.
Whenever you get around
whenever
to it.
Whenever you want. Yeah, it's all good.
Whenever it fits best in your schedule. That works for me. Just send a calendar invite, and if we have to move it, I'll move it.
It's fine. The Constitution allows states to choose the, quote, times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives, close quote, but it permits Congress to make or alter those state rules, except as to the places of choosing senators. Because remember way back when the state legislatures chose the senators for each state.
Right. What a crazy idea for a democracy to be like, you know what? Let's not have an election. We don't talk about it enough where they're like, what's just a point? Forget it.
We'll just let those other people. I mean, they were kind of elected by the people. The people voted. So obviously they're kind of related to
Britney Spears. It's like, right, yeah, just, if you crunch the numbers, it all adds up.
It's all there. Of course. The Constitution also empowers Congress to select the time for choosing presidential electors for the Electoral College and the day all states' electors vote for president and vice president. So they're putting like some time constraints on it, but really not towards the election. It's like the election of the Electoral College electors.
Right. The Founding Fathers were like, you choose. You pick the date.
I'm so tired.
Just let us know what it is. It's fine. Yeah. Whatever you choose. Yeah. You just pick it. Love that. Speaking of Founding Fathers, let's talk about voting policies of yore and yesteryear. Mm-hmm. Back in Hamanashah, because I bet it's different from now.
It's different.
So these notes are coming from history.com, the Congressional Research Service article, and also the NPR article. So the story's going back to the Founding Fathers. Put yourself there. The Constitutional Convention just met for a very brief time during the summer of 1787, says historian Don Ritchie. By the time they got finished, they were exhausted and hadn't made their minds up about a lot of things. We've heard this before, where they go through the whole process and are like, oh my God, we still have like a bullet list of things we haven't figured out. Let's rapid fire solutions right now. We gotta get to the pub. They were very tired. So they left the question of when federal elections should be held undecided. They said, you know, let's table the question of when federal elections should be held. Let's just table it until next year.
Put a pin on it. We'll circle back around and square that point in a few years. In a few years, I don't got time.
Something will shake out.
It's nothing to worry about. We created the democracy. What more could go wrong?
Oh my God, I know. Like, hello, three branches. That was us.
That was so smart. Look at us.
Oh my God, we're very smart. Without figuring out when federal elections should be held, laid out, states were left to decide their own voting dates, which meant several decades of electoral chaos. The historian Don Ritchie describes it as, quote, crazy quilt of elections held at all different times all over the country. Which, I mean, yeah, you leave them up to their own devices. They're going to be like, I'm going to do it this way. And right. I'm going to do it over here. And I'm going to do it over here.
We and still do it good. All different ways.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Knowing the early voting results could affect turnout and sway opinion in states that held late elections, and those same last-minute voters could potentially decide the outcome of the entire election, Congress created the current election day in the hopes of streamlining the voting process. So they were like, okay, we're all going to agree on the one day for everybody because let's say a candidate was leading and, you know, 40 states had already done their voting and there were only 10 states left and there was a clear winner or a clear lead, more than likely that person would probably get an unfair advantage because people see them as the lead.
Right.
So what if we did it all on the same day? Crazy. Don't know why the founding fathers couldn't come to that.
They shouldn't have let them cheat. It's cheating. Sure. You don't get to know the answer beforehand. You don't get to cheat.
It's true. You know the answer to the test before you take the test. Mm-hmm. Popular elections for representatives were held between November 24th, 1788, and June 22nd, 1789. Senators, at the time, were selected by the state legislatures, which was originally what the Constitution had decided how they would be selected.
Yep.
Different states chose presidential electors in different ways, some by popular votes and other by legislatures. So in 1845, the 28th Congress set a single date for states to appoint presidential electors, which we love. One date. Mm-hmm. Everybody chooses it. One date.
We all show up. Date.
As travel and communication methods became faster in the 19th century, potential manipulation and fraud concerns grew due to different election days in different states. The 34-day period for which elections could be held prolonged excitement and provided time for more intrigue. Members of the House, when debating a bill in 1844 that would set a uniform presidential election day across the country, declared the goal was, quote, to guard against frauds in the elections of president and vice president. So finally, in 1845, the 28th Congress set the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November. Can we talk about that sentence?
I'll say
it again. The 28th Congress set, quote, the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November.
It's a riddle. It's an LSAT riddle.
Isn't it also, correct me if I'm wrong, the first Tuesday of November?
Oh, there's...
Or is there a reason coming
There's
up?
A reason because, that it's not
okay,
that.
Okay,
there's
I'll
a reason
it,
that
I'll
it's not
it.
That. Yes.
Okay,
keep
great.
Listening but and we'll tell you,
you
why
see,
it doesn't
you
say that.
You can see how it's like, or this could be the first Tuesday.
Lizzie's like, am I just the smartest or the dumbest person in the room?
Am
I don't get why they wouldn't just say that. Why not just say that?
Okay,
there's
great.
A reason.
Well, I'll pause. I'll wait for the moment. I'll wait for the
okay,
big reveal.
Great.
They said the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November as the date for states to appoint presidential electors, the first unified presidential election day ended up being November 7th, 1848. So it took us, do the math, 70 years?
Yeah.
Give or take when you started this country, had to get a uniform election day.
Yeah.
I love that.
Before that, it was like, there was this like 34-day period. You have 34 days. Just anytime,
and
there.
Anytime, any place. You let us know.
You let us know. You hold it.
Love
and
it.
You tell us what you decide. That's it.
Later in 1872, the 42nd Congress aligned House elections with presidential elections by scheduling them for, quote, the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November. This is going to haunt me. Starting in 1876 and, quote, in every second year thereafter. So now the House is aligned with the president's and the vice president election.
Yep.
Senators are still being nominated by the states. Before the 17th Amendment was ratified in 1913, state legislatures elected senators. In 1914, however, the 63rd Congress aligned popular election of senators with the biennial, tough word,
very
biennial House elections. Is that wrong?
Oh my God, that was great. No, it was just your face. Okay.
Well, because I just see the word biennial written out is tough.
It's a weird
It's a weird one.
It's a weird word. It's not how I would think to spell biennial. I mean, of course, like, no, phonetically it makes
the
sense.
The E shouldn't be there.
No, but yes. And the double N does make sense, but it does confuse me to see it in print.
Yeah.
It's like how I can't spell cabinet.
Oh, sure. Cabinet. I mean, don't even talk to me about cabinet. No. So to recap all of that. So from 1776 to 1845, everybody was just doing their own thing with elections.
Yeah.
It was up to the states. The states were deciding. It was a mishmash or a quilt, as they say.
Yeah.
Then 1845 rolls along. 28th Congress is like, all right, everybody's doing presidential electors on the same day. And as we all know, presidential electors are the ones who officially choose the president and vice right. president. So that's 1845 when we get the president all aligned on one day for the states. Then the House joins up with that date in 1872. In 1872, the House joins the boat. Now the House and the president all on the same date. Then finally, the senators join the party mm-hmm. in 1914. And now all three sectors are being voted on the same day when, of yes. course, their elections happen. Because there's, you know, 4 years for president, 2 years for House, six ah, years for senators.
Yeah.
A lot of Tetrising.
Yeah.
But now we are all on the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November.
Well done. And woo! I'm glad I gave you so much practice saying the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November. I mean, is that not a great band name or what?
We are the Tuesday next after the first Monday in the month of November. Are you ready to rock?
Oh my God. Oh, I would die. I would love to see somebody attempt to do that. And just a slew of people being like,
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Okay, so here is the big question. There's two big questions that we can ask. I'm going to ask and answer the first one, and Lizzie's going to ask and answer the second one. The first one is, why a Tuesday?
Why a Tuesday?
Why a Tuesday?
Nothing against Tuesdays, but why?
And why the Tuesday next after the first Monday?
I beg of you to answer.
I beg. Okay. So the answer stems, as it usually does with old-timey things, from the agrarian makeup of 19th century America. We're farmers.
I should have known.
Yeah.
This has agrarian makeup of 19th century America written all over it.
All over her. In the 1800s, most citizens worked as farmers. I just can't even imagine that right now.
So many farmers.
If everybody that I knew was a farmer, I don't even know.
What would you talk about?
I don't know. And also, what would we...
Shout out to the farmers, man. They're keeping us together.
They're keeping it together. Meanwhile, I like stare at a computer all day. In the 1800s, most citizens worked as farmers and lived far from their polling place, which we will recall. They also lived far from their post offices.
They're not close to much.
No, because they got a lot of land. Farms are big. They got a lot of land. They got to drive around in order to get to these places. Since people often traveled at least a day to vote, because they're also going by carriage or just horses, lawmakers needed to allow a two-day window for election day. Still, some days... So they're thinking ahead. They're like, all right, we got to get people.
That's fair. I am 100% with you.
100% with you. People got to clip clop to the election site, and then they got to do their thing, and then they got to go back home. So 2 days. Okay. Still, some days of the week were better than others. 2 days were definitely out of the question. Most Americans were also devout Christians and thus set aside Sunday as a day of rest and worship.
Obviously. In God we trust.
Wednesday in many areas was a market day when farmers sold their crops in town. We can't ask them to miss the day they make their money.
Very fair.
In addition, a travel day was sometimes required. Like we said, in rural areas, it might be several miles away. And in an area before automobiles, that could take a while to get there. If people couldn't use Sunday or Wednesday as their travel day, then that meant election day couldn't be on a Monday or a Thursday either. And so it was perceived that Tuesday was the best option.
I just have to say, I disagree. I think Friday.
Friday?
We're not talking about Friday at all because...
It's true. Or Saturday. We're not talking about Saturday.
Sure, we're not talking about Saturday, although I assume if people want to travel back on Sunday, that's the Lord's Day, we need to worship.
Oh, but right. Friday, yes.
We can travel on Thursday, which so far I have not seen why that's not an option.
I don't get it.
Election Day on Friday, you can travel back on Saturday. Nothing going on Saturday.
No. Nope.
I mean, nobody asked me, should they have? I think so. But, you know, maybe it's different times. I don't know. I'm just saying.
We could have a national election on Fridays, and that could just always be a big old weekend.
Yeah. It would be so much easier to justify Election Day being a federal holiday, which as of right now, it is still not.
So crazy.
Still not.
How do we have Labor Day and not Election Day?
Doesn't make sense. Election Day is not a holiday, and I think a stronger case could be made if we had it as like a three-day if we could, like, make it a three-day holiday. But you 100%. Can't. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Can't have a four-day weekend. Oh, my God. What are we? Switzerland? Like, happy? Come on.
What are you doing? So I guess people would travel on their horses on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Get a hotel room. And then vote either that evening or that Tuesday morning. And then ride home. And then go to the market on Wednesday. I guess that's what we're talking about. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I see it. Meanwhile, my voting place is across the street.
Sure. Different times. Different times.
Different times.
The still only hard thing that... for people to get off work, though.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. So the reason that Election Day was specified as the Tuesday after the first Monday, the Tuesday next, if you will, was to prevent it from falling on November 1st, the day that was considered unfavorable because sometimes Christians observed it as All Saints Day, and also because merchants typically took off the first day of the month to settle their books for the previous month. We are doing a lot of work.
So hold on.
This is like when you have five friends and you're like, that Tuesday doesn't work for me. I have the yoga.
That doesn't work for me. But I'm yoga. Confused, and it's because I'm tired and I'm hungry, so I don't have the ability to really figure this out. Yeah. How specifying the Tuesday after the first Monday. Oh, I gotcha.
Because if November 1st
if Tuesday is November 1st, that means Monday would be October.
Halloween.
Would be October 31st. Yeah. So it wouldn't be the first month. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I get it.
I don't it's like clicking. It, but I understand. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's clicking. Okay. Okay.
So nuts. Could you? Okay. I'm so glad that in a way this was decided way back in the day because we can't do this shit now.
We would never be able to agree.
No, we would never be able to agree.
We wouldn't be able to agree. There just wouldn't be elections because we couldn't agree on a single day of the week.
It would just be people walking in, taking over the seat and just...
Yeah, I mean, thank God for the merchants, right? Who guided us here. The merchants and the farmers really honed in a decision for us. I'm not mad about it. I still think it could have been Friday, but not mad.
Yeah, agreed. And the Christians, these three groups.
The Friday after the first Thursday of every month, I think, could have done it.
Also works.
Okay. So that was why Tuesday answered a big question for me, obviously.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But also, second question, why November? Why November? Would love to know. Gonna tell you. Or going back to the farms, obviously. Farm culture also explains why Election Day always falls in November. Spring and early summer elections were thought to interfere with the planting season. Fair. And late summer and early fall elections overlapped with the harvest. That left the late fall month of November after the harvest was complete, but before the arrival of a harsh winter weather as the best choice. This I don't have an argument with.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, and now I do think actually it's kind of like in the best position because yes, if it's too cold, you still have to, it's not like we're taking, you know, the clip clop to the polling place anymore. But like we see lines where people stand outside and they stand in the cold and like there's harsh weather and hurricanes and snow and all of that. And yeah, so not great. December to March, agree. Put that, take it off the table. And then summer, you know, in theory, people like they vacation, they go places. Like,
right.
You don't want to have it during a time when like the population might not be there.
For sure.
So I agree. I have no problem with November.
I agree with November. I'm not sold on Tuesday.
No.
I'll say that much. I'll say that much.
I agree with your agreement and your dissent.
And so I touched on this a little bit, but let's talk about the current election day. So Election Day is now a civic holiday, not a federal, but a civic holiday in several states, including Delaware, Hawaii, New York, New Jersey, and the territory of Puerto Rico. Many activists have called for Election Day to become a federal holiday so people can take time off without missing work. Yes, because not all states have early voting. Not all states have like kind voting hours, you know? Right. Some states, literally it's like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. when you are supposed to be probably commuting to work and coming back from work. You don't have time to vote.
Nope.
So to not have a holiday or any early voting is, in my opinion, a form of voter suppression.
Agreed.
Calling it out. 100%.
I agree.
Other proposals to boost voter turnout include having elections take place over several days, so like early elections or early voting like I was talking about, or, as we saw in the last election, allowing voting to take place by mail or computer. So we haven't seen computers yet, no, but by mail, absentee ballot,
yeah.
That's obviously was a big thing in the last election because of the pandemic. I think overall it went well, despite what others may falsely claim.
Agreed.
So if you have the opportunity to vote by mail and you qualify for that, I think it's a great way to still stay engaged without having to potentially miss work or miss pay.
Agreed. So as you can tell, Lizzie and I have some opinions about when election day should be, how it should be done, and we are not alone in those feelings. So there are some current ideas for reform. So although these notes are coming from Britannica, although Tuesday was chosen as a matter of convenience, voting on that day is now more commonly seen as a hindrance for various reasons that we've talked about. You can't
Britannica and I are in sync.
In sync. You can't work, you know, an 8 to 5 and then have children and have like leave home at 6 because then everybody's going at 6 a.m. to go. But I mean, no, that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Less than 2% of Americans today are employed in agriculture. So the whole reason why we have this structure, that structure no longer dominates our economic health and life. So why are we still abiding by a system that we created for them?
For the farmers.
For the farmers. Not to dig the farmers. And many people work on Tuesdays throughout the year. It's not a day that people
It's called a 9 to 5.
It's called a 9 to 5.
Monday through Friday.
Yes. As voter turnout rates declined over time, some people proposed that elections should be moved to the weekend. Clearly a proposal that we at least endorse or at very least endorse hearing out.
Mm-hmm.
Other suggestions include keeping Election Day on a Tuesday, but making it a federal holiday. Literally the bare minimum that you could do.
Literally the easiest thing we could do. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Right. Because in some ways, I feel like it's already treated like that in many ways. In some ways, it's not. In like very important ways, it's not. But like in some ways, I'm like, it is treated like that. So just make it that. Like, what? I don't understand the holdup.
Well, just basically give people the opportunity to not lose out on pay.
Exactly.
Because that's the biggest thing, right? Is that people have to, especially people who work hourly jobs, have to forego literal money for survival. Yep. Or they have to choose between getting paid or voting. And most people, like I would.
Yeah.
Would prefer to get money.
Yeah. I want to live. I would like to have dinner.
I'd like to be able to pay my bills or support my kids or whatever.
Yeah. You know? All of that. So while those particular efforts have not been successful, increased opportunities to vote early and by mail have had the effect of making Election Day less central to the voting experience than it once was. So it's not, we are not like fully in the agrarian calendar. Just voting on the Tuesday and riding back to our farms on later that day. There are states that have early voting by mail voting, like Lizzie talked about. So it has expanded to be more modern friendly.
But even the expansions are coming under fire. And I will say this until I die. But people who are actively trying to prevent folks from voting are doing so to suppress the vote. Mm-hmm. It is a form of voter suppression to, and I quote, not make Election Day a federal holiday, or not move Election Day to a weekend, or not have early voting options, or not allow absentee voting. Because people do not want everybody to be able to vote, because if everybody had the ability to vote equally, those folks would not be in power, end quote. I just quoted myself in this moment.
I'd like to quote myself when I quote myself and say,
I'll say it till the day I die.
There is no reason that we can't
move Election Day. There's no reason that we can't make it a federal holiday, that we can't do one of the things that would make it easier for everybody to vote.
I see the argument for not, like, as much as I think it should not be on a Tuesday, I see the argument for not moving it because it has been on a Tuesday for so long. And one of the things that's hardest, like just in general, is getting people to go to vote. You know, like, yeah. from a campaign standpoint, like getting people to go to vote, or just, you know, civic life in general, like there still are nearly half of Americans who don't do that. And so if it was a move to a different day, I can see where there would be drop off because people would be like, wait, what? Like, you know, I mean, I don't know what that percentage would be, but like it would confuse, and it would confuse some number of people, you know, like eventually you sure. would think everybody would hear about it. Hey, ding-a-ling bell, yeah, we mean, moved election day. I just think we live
in the age of instant information.
Yeah.
You know, especially now, it makes me a little less concerned. I think even like 5 years ago, this yeah. was much more of a concern than it is now. I yeah. mean, we know of things immediately. Yeah. Immediately. It's yeah. crazy how quickly we learn information and how widespread we learn information.
We learn information very quickly from our telephones, but there are groups of people who don't learn that information as quickly or have access to that kind of True. Immediacy. And so anyway, that's I fully support a conversation about it.
I love it. And that's what
and
we're
And I fully support making it a federal holiday and many yeah. other things.
My thing Great. Is, if we're not doing one, like the fact that we're not doing any of the options yes. on a federal level.
Agreed.
Is voter suppression. It's right. just Agreed. Voter suppression at work.
I agree.
Period.
I gave you, there's only one fun fact, and I Perfect. Gave it to you because I love you.
Okay. And a gift to me from you for the listeners. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Favorite part of the episode. It's fun facts. We just have the one, and I'm already excited about it. So here it is. Liquor sales used to be prohibited on election day, which voter suppression.
Voter suppression, the worst form. Let the people
worst
drink.
Form of voter suppression. Okay. A long tradition in American politics offered strong drink as an incentive for voters to turn out and support certain candidates at the polls. As of the early 1970s, alcohol sales were, quote, prohibited almost uniformly on election day, at least during polling hours, end quote. States abandoned the policy over time, and South Carolina lifted the nation's last statewide election day liquor ban in 2014.
Like, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
So crazy.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I bet you there was a handful of cases of some candidates being like, you want some liquor? Vote for me. And then instead of just going after those few individuals, they ruined the fun for everyone.
Exactly.
And banned liquor during polling hours.
Yeah.
Because we're a bunch of losers sometimes. We're just a bunch of noobs. Like, let us party.
Let us party.
We are practicing the best thing, the thing that makes us the United States of America, and that is voting in a democratic election. Let us have a shot of tequila.
I beg you. I love this. Because election day to me is always like, I mean, no. Do I go to the polls with a Bloody Mary in my hand? Have not yet. Would not put it past me. But... But election day, like getting towards, you know, when you're going to hear the results of a presidential election.
Oh,
sure. Start drinking very early, like 4, 5, 6, because it's a long road. And depending on what the election is. Oh, my God. Like the Hillary Trump election. Jesus. Woof. Like, I was like, I need to calm my nerves. And if you were telling me that I couldn't have had my drinks while I was waiting for that, are you crazy?
It's a crime against humanity.
Yes. Thank God it no
Let
longer
the people
happens.
Drink.
Let the people drink.
Yes. Let them drink. What a great little fun fact to end on.
I know.
I mean, and that's the end of our History of Election Day episode. I feel like I learned a lot. Like most founding things that that we do, I don't agree with much. Somebody should have called me. We're in this mess because truly the founding fathers were like, you know what? I don't have the capacity to figure this out now. Let's just table it. And that is how we got here. It's because somebody couldn't pull it together to say, let's just pick a day.
Yeah.
Pick one day, we'll vote then.
Yeah.
That's all they had to do. Couldn't do it.
No.
Too tired.
They let it go.
I love it. As always, I love them. And I love you, sweet, sweet listeners. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, you can rate us, you can review us, you can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.